Can I take my jacket off? Thank you. I'm fired up. Are you fired up?
Yeah.
You ain't fired up. You missed it. Second wave is coming now. Second wave is coming. God is good. He answered all my prayers already. I mean, he really answered all my prayers already. I mean, he moved today. I said, God, this is your house. This is your service. These are your people.
Yes.
Do in your house what you want to be done in your people.
Yes.
And he did that this morning. I love that because every time I come to share a word, God sets the atmosphere. He sets the atmosphere and it takes away all the jitters, takes away all the nerves, and takes away all those things that you're uncertain of. But when God confirms, I am here, my presence is here, you know you got it won. I don't got the sermon won, but I know I got the enemy won. He's defeated. Where God's presence is, all things are made new. They don't get repaired. They don't get stitched up. They don't get, you know, buffed up and polished. They get made new. New. So if you came today to just get repaired, this ain't the place. But if you came to be made new, to be made whole, then this is the place because this is where God's presence is today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Before I get into the sermon, I just want to share something. God is so good. When I look back and I look back on the things of my life and I look back on the past, I just see how good God is and how faithful he is, how awesome he is. I had people prophesy over me when I was a teenager. As a young adult, people prophesying over me scared the heck out of me. How do you know that? How do you know what I've been through? How do you know what music or what sport I played in? How do you know that? How do you know what's going to happen? I got to get away from you. Right now. You spooking me out. I've had women tell me, God is calling you to preach. But that girl you with, she's going to take all your energy. I said, I rebuke you. I like that girl. I like that girl, so I'm going to have to talk to that girl. Look, this lady, she don't know me like that, and she told me about my life. She even mentioned you. We're going to have to change some things so that way we can keep this thing together because I like you. But she was right, and I had to let that go. I had to let that go because God had greater. God had greater than what I thought was good enough for me. How many people live day to day and they go, it's good enough. I'm doing good enough. I'm doing all right. I'm comfortable. I've even had people say, oh, I don't want to be rich. I don't want to be this. I just want to be comfortable. I just want to be comfortable. I remember when I was teaching the youth and I asked them, I said, if you had the cure to AIDS or cancer, some terminal illness, would you keep that to yourself? Would you just say, I got the cure, I'm good, I'll share it with my family, my mom, my sister, my brother, my father, I share it with them, but we're good. And they were like, no. I love kids, man, because they just give that innocent, you know, that untainted view of things, and they go, no, I can't do that. I gotta tell everybody. I said, oh yeah? You gotta tell everybody? Like, the whole world. And I'm like, right on, the whole world. Right? And I was like, well, guess what? You do have the cure. They're like, huh? I said, you have the cure. I said, you have the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Because the blood of Jesus is the cure. Heals everything. Makes all things new. Not just for this life, but for eternal life. After death. Me and my wife, we always talk about trying to like eat better and, you know, live better. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, being healthy. Nothing wrong with that. I even go into my job and we talk about that too. Shouldn't be eating that. I'll tell you what to eat. We trade notes, right? We trade notes and, hey, you hear about this guy and you hear about this guy. And it's funny because my wife had mentioned something about holistic doctors. And we were talking about it at work as well. And there's a conspiracy out there that holistic doctors all over the world are being murdered. Some holistic doctors have even been said to have the cure to AIDS. Now, I'm not here to make that a factual statement or say that that is not a factual statement. But what I'm here to say is that they believe that they had a cure. They must have had enough evidence, if the allegations are true, that they were murdered. See, I don't find that too hard to believe. Because I know a man that had the cure. I know a man that had the word that no one else wanted him to speak because they knew what it would do to their authority, to their power, to the way that they ran things. And his name is Jesus Christ. And they hung him on a cross for that. So I don't find it too hard to believe. Jesus had the cure. He came to bring salvation to all. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world, everybody in the world, that he gave his only son. But today we're going to talk about someone else. The title of my message is It Worth It? The scripture text that we're going to be reading from is Jonah chapter 1. Now, I'm glad the children are up here because they can relate to this story because they've heard it a lot. Everybody's heard about Jonah and the whale, right? Yeah. Right? Yeah, they know about Jonah and the big fish that swallowed him, right? Right? Everybody remember why he got swallowed? Remember why he got swallowed? Well, we're going to find out why he got swallowed, but we're going to take a look at the steps that brought him to that position where he placed himself in, that he allowed himself to get into that predicament. We're going to look at that. We're going to examine that right now. Jonah first was a minor prophet. And not that he was minor because he was littler or he wasn't as important, but his prophecies were a smaller part of the Old Testament. He lived in the town of Gath-Hepher. And Jonah was instructed by God to preach against the wickedness in Nineveh. Okay? And can we bring that map up? So if we look here, Gath-Hepher in Israel, we see that right there. That's where Jonah lived. That was his hometown, right? And then we see Nineveh, which is B, right? Which is in Assyria. That's where he was called. That was his mission, to go preach to the wickedness of Nineveh. Okay? Nineveh was 500 miles from Gath-Hepher. It was the Assyrian capital. This was not a nice place if you were Jewish. This was a place that enslaved Jews. Okay? A place that was conquered. Jews, that the Israel was conquered by the Assyrians. This is near the Tigris and Euphrates River, modern-day Iraq is at. And in that time, it was a wicked city. They didn't have the same views, and this is how the Jews viewed them, as wicked. This was the Jews' view of them. Jonah despised the wicked nation of Nineveh and refused to preach to them. See, later on in the book of Jonah, and on chapter 4, verse 2, Jonah confesses why he didn't want to go to Nineveh. And the reason why is because he knew that he served a merciful God. He knew he served the God of love. So he didn't want to go preach to the wickedness in Nineveh because he knew God was going to save them. He's going to go save my enemy. My enemy. You're going to go save my enemy? Around the next day, he might enslave me. He might kill me. And you want me to go into this city? They said Nineveh was so big, it was a 3-day journey. Anybody know a city that you got a 3 days it'll take you to walk it? Or walk across it? Now we have another place. And before we continue, I just want to read through the scripture. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. The mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said that they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for those cause this evil is upon us. What is thy occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Jonah knew who his God was. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For we sought wrought and was temptuous. For the sea wrought and was temptuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Father God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for everything that you've already done, O Lord, Father God. You are holy. We thank you for everything that you're doing and everything that you're going to do, O Lord, Father God. Father God, have your way in this time, O Lord, Father God. May your presence be known, O Lord, Father God. May your love be felt, O Lord, Father God. May lives be transformed. May minds be renewed. May hearts be softened to receive your word, O Lord, Father God. Father God, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven, O Lord, Father God. Father God, I decrease that you may increase, O Lord, Father God. Have your way, O Lord, Father God, add a blessing to your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So we see here that Jonah decides that he's not going to Nineveh. I'm not going to Nineveh. I don't like those people. I don't like them. I don't like what they do to my people. I don't like them. So Jonah decides to go down to Joppa. Joppa is about 30 miles from Gath Hepher, from where he lives. Jonah decides to get on a ship in Joppa. That's a port city in Israel. And he decides that I'm not going to Nineveh, but I'm going to go hang out in the Mediterranean Sea over here in Tarshish, which is modern-day Spain. He says, I'm going to go hang out. He says, I don't know about that going to Nineveh and giving a message or a warning to my enemies. I don't like that. So I'm going to go to Tarshish. I mean, you can see already the difference. Tarshish was 2,500 miles from Israel. It was the total opposite direction of Nineveh. In that day, he went to the whole other end of the world. Look, how often is God calling us to fulfill his will and our purpose in our lives, and we choose not to be obedient? God gives us directions, instructions, confirms them, and everything. Right? And we go, I don't know. Remember what I said before? Jonah had the cure. Jonah knew who God was. Jonah was a prophet. Jonah knew who his Savior was. He was keeping it to himself. See, sometimes we do that without even saying it. Sometimes it's just in our actions. Sometimes it's just in our attitude. Nah, leave me alone. I don't want to be bothered with that. I don't have time for that. At times we value our own agenda or what we see as just as important. Well, I'm doing something just as important. I know that's important to you, but I'm doing something just as important. And that might be rightful so. But sometimes we feel like that has more value or worth. The question we must ask ourselves is, are we making choices according to God's plans and instructions? If our decisions are not based on God's biblical principles and directions, are they worth it? Are they worth it? Well, I'm here to tell you today that not only are they not profitable, but they will cost us greatly. They will cost you greatly. See, when we tell God that his plan is not worth it, three actions will take place. The first one, we will seek comfort out of the will of God. We will start running. Secondly, it will cost you physically, and it will cost you monetarily. It will hit your pocket. Thirdly, it will cause self-condemnation. It will cause self-condemnation. But the first thing is that we're going to have to seek comfort out of the will of God. I remember when these people would prophesy over me, and they would tell me about my life and tell me what God was going to use me and how he was going to take me from here to there. And I had to run. I had to get real far. I had to get away from my house. I had to get away from people that I knew. I remember I had a friend in Connecticut, and sometimes we would just go over there and stay the whole week. I just had to get away. Not only had to get away, I had to be spaced out. Y'all know what I mean. I had to be spaced out. I had to be on a whole nother lane. And I had to stay like that. Because every time, everywhere I would go, God would confront me. You in the club? Who let you in the club? You not dressed properly. He would be everywhere I would go. And when I would mess up, he would be there too. Amen? When I would be down and out, and I look over, and he's still there. This guy don't quit. But God was a gentleman. He never imposed himself on me. He would just hold his arms out open. He would just hold his arms out. Are you ready? I'm here. I've been here. Are you ready? Look, Jonah needed to be as far as possible from Nineveh and Jerusalem. Because in Nineveh's mind, he was thinking, I'm not going to go to Nineveh. You know why? God's going to be there. And I know what God's going to do over there. It's going to be a party over there. I don't like that. I got to get out of Israel because people know me here. I'm a prophet. Okay, I'm a prophet. They're going to say, didn't God give you some instructions? He might bump into another prophet that go, God told me you're late. So he was like, you know what? Let me get on this boat and get out of here. Jonah didn't want to deal with his circumstance, and he grew comfortable with his decision. We see this in verse 5. We see this in verse 5 where it says, but Jonah was gone down into the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. When he got to the boat, he already seen the storm coming. Storm, oh no, God's coming. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to answer no questions. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to sleep. It's funny, man, because it happens, and it happens often. As I was preparing for this message, there was parts of it that were missing pieces, and I couldn't fill them. And I knew what that meant. I knew that meant that I was going to have to ask God for those missing pieces. So God said, what you going to do? And I go, well, that means I'm going to have to talk to you. That's where God's at. I'm going to have to talk to God. So that means I'm going to have to pray. How many people here pray? How many people here have trouble praying? How many people here, when they want to pray, that's when everything goes wrong? How many people here, when you're about to pray, that's when the phone rings? Oh, yeah. That's when that thing that you've been waiting for to come on TV? Yeah. 9 o'clock! Yeah. My show is on. Right? Well, when I had to pray, I said, I know how to pray. Grab my prayer clock. As soon as I get down into the prayer, kneeling down, I realize that I closed the door and it's 80 degrees outside and I got this prayer shawl over my head and it started getting hot. Yeah. And I was like, oh man, I don't know how long God's going to keep me down here either. But I just stayed. I stood still. Now, there's been other times where I would have got up, put the air conditioner on, open the door, maybe take off the shirt I was wearing, something, right? But I just stood still. God said, stay still. Don't move. Don't move. And as I started praying, my legs started to hurt. They started to cramp. I started to lose circulation in my legs. I could feel them going. I feel the needles turning to knives. And I'm like, maybe I should get up. God said, don't move. I said, but this hurts. I said, don't move. There's other times where I would have got up. I would have sat up. I maybe would have sat in a chair. But that wasn't God's instructions. See, he didn't want me comfortable. In fact, the minute that he told me that to go to prayer, I became uncomfortable. Because God could say, you know what, everything you have written, can it? All that hard work, all that nights of praying and meditation and research and all that stuff, can it? Yeah. And I would have been really upset with that. I would have been like, But I had a decision to make. I had a choice to make. Was I going to listen to God or was I going to walk away? Was I going to fall to my distractions? In fact, the phone rang. The phone rang while I was in prayer, and I go, ooh, don't move. And I said, you know what? If it's important, that person, I can call them later. And I stayed. See, in life, you're gonna come to a point in life where you're gonna come to that place where you're gonna say, this is uncomfortable. I don't like this. I don't like what God is calling me to do. I don't like those people. I don't like this situation. And God's gonna say, be still. I got instructions for you, and you're going to have to make a choice. You're either going to get up, you're going to walk away, you're going to get comfortable, or you're going to seek deeper. So what I did, I got prostrate on my face. Because you know what that means? Is that I was like, God, you know what? Not only am I going to be still, but I'm going to come to a complete submission. I'm going to surrender. Because if you want those deeper instructions, because he told Jonah, go and speak against the wickedness. But there was more instructions. There was more instructions. Because God just doesn't send you and then leave you, hang you out to dry. He's with you. See, the thing about Jonah, he didn't realize that God was with him. God was with him when he went to Joppa. God was with him when he paid the fare for the boat. God was with him when he was in the boat sleeping. God was with him during the storm. God was with him in the well. God was always with him, and he couldn't escape his presence. So you have a choice to make. Are you going to surrender and submit? Because when I surrendered and when I submit, God began to just place all the things that needed to fit in those places in this sermon. And I don't always get it right. I don't always listen to God's instructions. But I tell you what, nothing good comes out of it when I don't follow his instructions. Nothing good comes out of it. Sometimes we purposely avoid God and receiving his instructions. Sometimes it's like, nah, I'm not going to Sunday service today. Nah, Bible study, I'll catch you next week. Prayer, I prayed yesterday. Sometimes we're at home. God's calling us to read his word. It's kind of hard. That King James Version, oof. Is that where English came from? Sometimes God's calling us into prayer, and I don't mean coming to prayer service. I don't mean praying with other believers. I mean an intimate time of prayer. God wants to have an intimate relationship with you. And sometimes we avoid that. Sometimes we don't even realize our rebellion. We find ourselves caught up in our own agendas, our own plans, our own extracurricular activities. Sometimes we just get sidetracked. But when we realize that we're sidetracked, what do? Do we ask God what to do next? Or do we just continue on to get sidetracked, to get so far gone that we don't even know how far we really are? 2,500 miles away, that's where Jonah wanted to be. When we do this, we avoid getting connected. We avoid fellowship with other believers. We avoid getting involved in ministry. But this doesn't just happen at church. It happens on the workplace. Every year at my job, we're called to put together a production plan. We don't like that production plan. Because it causes us to become uncomfortable and deal with what we have to get the job done. It sets timelines. It's rigid. It doesn't show areas for flexibility. Even as flexible as we try to make it, we know that things are going to arise that are going to derail it. So it makes us uncomfortable. We did this last year and we didn't stick to it. We did this the year before and we didn't stick to it. And then we start playing the blame game. It's that person's fault. It's their fault. It's that person's fault. We don't reach out to other employees for help. Or we're reluctant to. We want to do it on our own. We want to prove that the system is flawed instead of proving that the system can work. Other times we see ourselves running in the opposite direction of God's will because we fear the responsibility of the outcome. We might fail. But even bigger than that, we might have too much invested anger, acceptance, selfish desire, too much to lose if God's plan really works. Man, if God's plan works, I'm going to have to leave that person. If God's plans works, I'm going to have to leave that job. If God's plans works, I'm going to have to really go to that person and ask for forgiveness. And they might actually accept it. That means we got to be friends? No, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not doing that. God's plan's going to work. And I know, because Jonah knew it. Jonah had that cure, and Jonah knew that when he brought that cure there, that it was going to work. That God was going to meet him there. Secondly, it will cost you money. Yeah? It will cost you money. And it will cause you physical pain. In verse 3, we see Jonah fleeing to Tarshish at Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, and so he paid the fare thereof. He paid. Let's go back to this map. Beth Hefer, Nineveh, 500 miles. Beth Hefer to Joppa to Tarshish, 2,500 miles. Which trip do you think cost more money? Four times the distance on a boat, not on camelback, not where you can sit camp and, you know, on a boat with a crew. I would say that Tarshish was the expensive trip. And how physical. With a storm at hand, it was dangerous, a dangerous trip, but he still went. How many times we find ourselves running from God and we see the danger that lies ahead and go, well, I don't want to run towards God, so I'm going to run towards this, and there is a risk, I'm willing to take it. Just to get away from what God is calling us really to do. In verses 5 and 15, we see that Jonah continues. When everybody else was praying, Jonah wasn't praying. And in verse 15, Jonah says, you know, verse 14, he says, you know what? The people say, you know what? We're going to throw this guy off the boat. We're going to throw this guy off the boat. And so he was tossed off the boat. And how many times this has happened to us that we go into something thinking that, you know what, I'm going to get away from what I got to do. I need to get away from this. I need to get away from it, accepting my responsibilities in a certain situation. And we go somewhere and we know that it's dangerous and we say, you know what, I'm willing to take the risk. And then what happens is that we're the ones that are hung out to dry. We're the ones that, you know, we thought that those were our friends, or we thought that's where we needed to be. And we realize that we're out of place. We realize that we're not doing what God is calling us to do. And we find ourselves there all alone. I like to go out to eat, and I don't think there's anything wrong with going out to eat. I like going to restaurants and stuff like that. You ever been at a restaurant and you get your meal and you eat it and it's good? And in your head you're going, I could have made this at home. I could have made this. I make this better. I love Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is awesome, right? Because everybody comes together and they cook, right? They share secrets and recipes and stuff like that. They share and they sit down and eat together. Imagine if you had to go out to eat with like 20 people. You know what the bill would be like? It'd be expensive. Tip would be expensive too. And you wouldn't get to enjoy all those things. You wouldn't get to enjoy the rewards of working and sharing and coming together and having so much. That's why during Thanksgiving, everybody's just full of joy, right? They get together with the family and eat. See, when we don't do what God is calling us to do, it's going to cost money. It's going to be more expensive. It's going to even cause physical pain. You say, how is going out to eat cause physical pain? Because when you get that bill, physical pain automatically starts knocking on you. I bring my wallet. We got enough money? Can we cover this? Right? Maybe you can cover it. But you know what that means? That you're going to have to go to work and work harder. Because you're going to need more money to continue that lifestyle. And then if we cook at home, we have leftovers. There's always a greater reward when we put in work and we share it with others. When we do things our own way, for our own plan, we waste a lot of time and money. We overspend, irresponsible spending, selfish spending. More work and more energy is exhausted. He got thrown off a boat. He had to swim for a while before the fish came. Okay? Not only is it more work and more energy that exhausted, it's less of your divine purpose. Less of what God really wants for you. Less of what God is really preparing for you. And the last thing, it will cause self-condemnation. If we look in verses 12, and he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Instead of praying, like everybody else was praying on the ship, he goes, my fault. I did this. You know what? Throw me off. I'm the problem. Throw me off. Forgot all about that he got a God in heaven, the God of heaven, that he only feared the God of heaven. He could have started praying, right? He could have started praying. And then in verse 17, Jonah then is swallowed by the fish and doesn't pray to God until 3 days. Suicide had been off. God help me! God help me! All right, I wouldn't. No, you're not throwing me off the boat. Give me a second. This will take a moment. I'm going to pray right now. All right? But Jonah gets tossed into a sea during a storm. I don't know if anybody's ever been out and seen us just at the shore when there's a storm. He's getting tossed all over the place and whoop, fish swallows him. He's still not praying. Right? He's not, I mean, he's not worried that the fish is going to digest him. Right? But he's just saying, it's my fault. I deserve this. I had this coming to me. Right? Look, first time that I raised my voice at my wife, I remember the first time I did it. The way she looked at me, you think that she would look at me like, oh, you better sit down. No, she didn't look at me like that. She looked at me with compassion. She looked at me and her eyes said, I'm still on your side. I'm still on your side. I still love you. At that moment, I might have seen her as the opposition. But she was saying to me, I'm still on your side. I'm still for you. See, because my old attitude was like it or leave it. Oh, you don't like that? You can leave me. Oh, you don't like that? Find something else. My old attitude was love me or leave me alone. Oh, you don't love me? Leave me alone. What you doing here? Scram, get. Had that kind of attitude. See, but what God did through my wife's life was show me his mercy, show me his compassion, show me his everlasting love. See, God just doesn't forgive. He also blesses you. He just doesn't forgive you. He blesses you. I don't know how many times I've done stuff that I shouldn't have been doing, and I say, God, forgive me. And I would have been fine with just the forgiveness. But then he turns right around and he blesses me. And I just fall to my knees and I say, God, I don't even deserve this. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The world. See, we will sometimes even play the victim and say things like, it's always my fault. Life always does me wrong. Maybe even say, if I'm the problem, then get rid of me. Because that's what Jonah felt. Jonah was like, I'm the enemy. I'm wrong. I don't deserve anything but death. Toss me. And sometimes we have been in that place where we're like, I'm not worthy. I'm not worth it. There's nothing that I can bring to this. There's nothing I can bring to the table. Get rid of me. See, when we sin, we separate ourselves from the fellowship or communication from God. When we don't do what God is calling us to do, we're being disobedient. And when we're disobedient, we're sinning. And when we're sinning, we're severing the lines of communication. We're severing the line of understanding and knowing that God's presence is still there. And you know why we feel that way? Sometimes it's shame or lack of a relationship that we never had a relationship with God. That keep us from remembering or ever receiving God's promise of forgiveness. You know why? Because that's what the devil wants. The devil wants to lie and deceive us that we cannot be forgiven because we're too far gone. Jonah felt like he was too far gone. He didn't go to Nineveh. He didn't have intentions on going to Nineveh. Now he's in the belly of this whale or fish. He was too far gone. 3 days in the bottom of a belly of a fish. Still no prayer. Look, God's will is that God loves the world. He wishes that none shall perish. He commands us to love one another, commands us to spread his love through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The enemy of your soul wants to steal, kill, and destroy. In John 10:10, it describes Satan as a thief. He wants to steal your identity, your purpose, your joy, your legacy, your safety, your health, your life on earth and eternity. He wants to steal it all. But God saw us all worth it. Jesus didn't run from the presence of God because he didn't think we were worth it. Jesus paid the ultimate price, but also received the ultimate reward. Jesus didn't bring condemnation on himself or us. He brought the will of the Father, which is salvation for all who receive it in faith. If you missed it this morning, if you missed God's instructions this morning, if you didn't hear God's instructions and say, I'll go, even though it made you uncomfortable. Because when God calls you immediately, you're uncomfortable. God is talking to me. Whoa. If God was nudging you to come to his altar, maybe you haven't got your instructions. Jonah was a prophet. He had a good relationship with God. He was his creator. He knew he was his creator. But maybe you haven't got those instructions. Maybe you don't even know who your Savior is. Maybe you've never had a relationship with him. But maybe you feel like you're in a good spot. Well, I ask you this question. If you knew the cure to all our ills, not just for this time on earth, but in eternity in heaven, would you receive it? If I said in the back of the room they got the cure to cancer, even if you didn't have cancer, Or the cure to AIDS, and you don't even know anybody has it. Would you go out there and get it and say, I'm going to bring this to somebody that has it? Because you have a choice today to make. We too can have a greater relationship with God, our Savior. We can seek Him through Jesus Christ. Maybe you have already received Jesus into your life and haven't been following your instructions. It's time to confess your disobedience and God, ask God for forgiveness so you can open up those lines of communication again. See, because it wasn't until 3 days later that Jonah said, I think God is still with me. Let me pray. And when he prayed himself right out of the mouth of the fish. And God gave him those instructions again. And he had to still go to Nineveh. And the people of Nineveh were saved. So ultimately God gets his way. Maybe you're in a spot you don't see no way out of. Start praying. Jonah should have been praying like the rest of the crew instead of playing the victim. Pray some more. Jonah prayed himself out of the fish. Praise God for a miracle and be obedient even when you can't see the point of his instructions. You might not even like his instructions. You might not like what he's going to tell you to do. It might make you very uncomfortable. God might be calling you right now. God's saying, I want to forgive you. God's saying, I want to take that situation and I want to give you victory in that situation. Will you come talk to me? Will you come talk to me? He said, I'm here still with my arms wide open. He says, I'm calling you and I've always been calling you. He says, you are in my presence. My presence is here. Not because this is a church. Because I want my presence to be with you all the time. He says, come now. Come now. The altars are open. If you're getting that instruction, come now. Maybe he wants you to bless your enemies. Can you do that? Can you bless your enemies? God says not just to love one another, but he says even love your enemy. God was asking Jonah to go bless his enemies. He was telling him to go to Nineveh and bless the people that could possibly kill him, that have brought nothing but harm to his nation. Because you might be thinking you're in a good spot. But when God calls you to do something that you don't like, you're in a bad spot. You're in a spot that you don't know what to do. Paul persecuted Christians. Paul was like ISIS. Will you pray for them? Will you go to them? I don't know what God's calling you to, but you might be good right now. You might be comfortable. But when he brings discomfort, remember Jonah. Remember that God's presence was always with him. If you haven't received Christ as your Savior, today is the day of salvation. Because it's worth it. Because he saw it worth it. God saw you all as worth it. And he saw Nineveh as worth it. We serve a God that is full of love, mercy, and grace. His mercy endures forever. Today, God showed me that when you're uncomfortable, he's comfortably doing the work that is necessary to be done. He's perfectly comfortable in getting the victory. He's perfectly comfortable of meeting you right where you're at. He's perfectly comfortable with restoring your joy, restoring your peace, if you just come to Him. Let us stand. Oh, Father God, You are the God of second chances. When we were lost, You found us. When we couldn't figure out the way or the direction, You guided us. When we could not see, You gave us the vision. When we couldn't hear anything else, we heard Your voice calling us. You not only give us second chances in this lifetime, but You gave us the ultimate second chance. The second chance to just lay our lives down